Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Serious topic this morning. We're going to talk about suicide awareness and mental illness awareness this morning. We have a number of guests with us to talk about this. Bob Dixon here, Katie Denner, Michelle Miner, and Daniel Reichwein is here this morning. Thank you all for coming in and talking about this.
You're welcome.
Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning. Michelle, I'll start off with you because this is a topic that it seems like 10, 15 years ago, it would be a much different conversation, or we wouldn't even be having this conversation. There seems to be in society today more awareness of depression and suicide and things and a willingness to talk about it than there was.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the resources in our community have increased. A lot more services are available, and people are more aware just based on that. But we definitely have increased or maybe decreased the stigma, hopefully. That's what we're trying to do, and that might be a big part of it too.
Do we know more about about everything? You know more about what causes and some of the helps than we did in the past?
I think just mental illness may be more accepted overall. People are coming out more, hopefully, and seeking support and help because the resources that are out there. Causes could be a multitude of things, but I think more awareness of what those mental illnesses are or those struggles are for individuals and acceptance might be the key for people seeking the support and help, and maybe the numbers are showing just because there's more voices out there.
Mm-hmm. Katie, you're somebody who's worked with this too as a licensed psychological counselor. Have you seen a change over the years?
I have. I do think that there's less stigma, but unfortunately, I think there's a large population, and some of the diagnoses may scare the general population, and that's really tough. And I think people who are suffering for something like depression, just by virtue of that diagnosis, there's an isolation process that happens and there's a feeling of shame. So although some people are coming for help more often, I do think still there is an element of stigma because anything that involves emotions, you know, there are people out there who think that it's controllable, that it's still a sign of weakness.
That's a choice.
Yeah, it's a choice, and there's something you can do about it. There's things you can alleviate, but for some of the diagnoses and major depression, you can't solve it. You know, there are medications and help through therapists, but there are an awful lot of people that still think that it is a choice.
I know in my case, when I ran into this with a family member a few years ago, it caught me totally off guard. And I think, Bob, you know, some of your, you know, it was a choice, or you try to talk them out of it in a way. Mm-hmm. And it took a long time to realize there's something more here than just talk about it. Don't feel like that.
Well, it's kind of like the little secret that's kept in the family. I've had a lot of mental health issues in my family as well, and it was like at those rare moments that someone would even bring it up. You know, oh yeah, so and so suffered from depression for years. Well, how about that? Nobody ever told me that.
I had the same thing.
There was a suicide in my family, and I just remember the shame and loathing that the survivors had, not just from our family but from our community. They just don't want to talk about it because there's just so much shame attached to it. I was going to say, I think the other reason that we're hearing more about this is that people who suffer from mental health issues are more aware of what is normal. For so many that are depressed or in challenged situations, they just accept their condition as is. It's a new normal. They don't know really what it feels to be normal anymore. And with the awareness becomes the yardstick that you can measure. Well, it isn't normal for me to sit in the basement 7 days a week loathing my condition. So just that general overall awareness is helping to get at this.
How important is it to have either family or coworkers, somebody who sees a problem and is willing to step forward and say something?
I think one of the things that we're finding and research is bearing out is that most people who are in distress, they tell somebody who is a friend. Or, you know, and that's why at Germana we're doing bystander awareness in regards to mental health and depression issues, because they're likely to go to a peer rather than a parent or rather than a professional. So I don't know if that answered your question.
Well, and go ahead.
I was also going to say, you know, not even saying something, but those family members and friends picking up on certain changes, right, whether behavioral changes or how they're in their environment changes, it could be subtle, are very key to even bring up the topic to say, hey, what's going on? Is everything okay? I'm noticing these changes. Very important. And who's going to notice that? That's going to be people around them, family, friends, students, other mm-hmm. peers, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely vital. I had two key moments when I was growing up when if I had had some family or friends that supported me, I probably would not have spent probably a decade of my life suffering from mental health illnesses. The first was when I was 16 years old and tried to commit suicide, but nobody realized anything was wrong, and I never told anybody about it after the attempt failed. The second was I had an English teacher in high school who told me after I graduated that she suspected, and I had taken her classes for 4 years, she said she had suspected that I was a victim of child abuse, but she wasn't sure, and she wasn't sure what to do. So in both those cases, I think if I had had more support from family and friends, I could have saved a lot of suffering.
Interesting that she would say she didn't know what to do. And probably a lot of us get into situations because, like you said, Michelle, when you notice changes, sometimes to try to get out of having to confront them, you can think of reasons why they're acting that way.
Or just let them go unnoticed.
You're right.
Yeah.
Let someone else do it.
And I think that's the struggle, is there is a lot of unknown, and I'm not sure what to say or do. But there's definitely a lot of resources for our community to develop that just basis of understanding. I mean, I know our community services board does a mental health first aid training for adults and youth. Learning about adult struggles and youth struggles. And that's definitely a good basis for people to kind of feel more comfortable in knowing what to say or how to react.
Daniel, in your case, if someone had come, you mentioned those two situations, in said, you know that they had noticed something, or, you know, is everything okay? Looking back, do you know how you might have reacted?
Well, back in those days, I was very alone because I was suffering from a lot of abuse at home and neglect. I didn't really have friends, you know, like you normally do in high school. And I think if somebody had shown some interest and, you know, some form of moral support, that I definitely would have been open to it. And I think it would have definitely changed my life.
Michelle, you mentioned about training. We'll talk about that, some of the things that are available in the community. And also Germana has some training software that we're going to talk about. When we come back this morning, we're talking about suicide awareness, mental health illness this morning on Town Talk. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking about suicide awareness, mental health illness awareness this morning on the program. Daniel Reichwin is here, Michelle Miner, Katie Denner, and Bob Dixon all here to talk about the issue. Michelle Miner is with the Rappahannock Area Community Services Board. Michelle, you mentioned just a few minutes ago just about training in the area, and I guess that's important for all kinds of people to deal with the public or students or whatever, to have training out there.
Yeah, the Rappahannock Area Community Services Board does offer a mental health first aid training, very similar to CPR first aid, but really on the basis of mental health awareness and some of the mental health disorders in our community developing understanding, how to approach, how to understand, how to notice different changes in someone, and how to point them in the right direction to get resources, support, and to move them forward in their recovery process. It's great training.
Do organizations ask for that, or you offer it?
Yeah, actually, we've been doing it for almost 2 years now, and
okay.
We've had various disciplines asking for it. We train public defenders in our area. We've trained the jail staff. We've trained just community members. We advertise it in Freelance Star. We also have it on our website, and we have them every other month. So it's definitely a training that anybody in the community can utilize.
And Michelle, there's a version just for youth, right? And then there's one for adults.
Yeah. So the adult version is adult disorders, and then the youth kind of talks about youth disorders, but they're all for adult community members mm-hmm. to take.
Bob and Katie, with Germana, you're dealing with all kinds of students and in all kinds of situations. And you, Bob, working with veterans, I'm sure run into a lot of things. Is there some kind of training or anything offered at Germana to help spotlight and highlight and look for symptoms?
Well, there is this year. Germana invested in a training program called Cognito is the name of the product, but we've for the entire semester we've purchased a license. It is a avatar based game simulation online. There's two flavors: one that is student to student peer interventions, and the other one is called Veterans on Campus. And so far, Katie, you said we've had over 100 and some?
214.
214 of our students have completed this online training. And essentially, it in a safe environment, gives them the skills and builds up their confidence to both recognize other students who may be in distress and, again, being bold enough to act and help them get do an intervention to help them get some help. So it certainly doesn't train anyone to be a licensed provider, but it does give them that sentinel triage. Something just isn't right that everyone keeps talking about this morning, that skill set. So we're excited about that. Our counseling office also has regular – we work with RACSB to have depression screenings on campus. We have anxiety workshops. So we have quite a variety of different things to help our students.
Well, this whole conversation in light of what we've seen in the last week or so with a couple of students, one at Riverbend, one at Brook Point, and it seems as though we see and hear this more and more. It's not something that we don't hear about anymore, that it's there.
Yeah, I think it's always been there. The good thing is, in both of those cases, a fellow student saw that something wasn't quite right and chose to act. Again, it's just lowering that threshold of being bold enough to say something. And in hindsight, when you go back and look at the young men or young women who are perpetrating those things, there's a lot of mental health issues there. And in hindsight, everyone's like, yeah, I should have saw that. And that's probably true. You should have. But fortunately, in both of those cases, being proactive saved the day, so to speak.
Michelle, in the case of if I see someone, I have a friend, is it good to go to somebody and talk to them one-on-one or go with another person? Or
you mean a friend who might be showing signs
yes,
of distress?
Yes,
or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of breaks the stigma when you approach that person and say, you know, I'm here. I'm noticing these things, or whatever's happening that you're noticing that isn't right, in a caring, compassionate way, letting that person know that, you know, you're there to support them and do they need you and how can you direct them to resources or how can you support them to get resources? Because sometimes people feel they're alone, so they're not going to seek out resources. So I think it would be amazing for everybody in our community to step up to support those in need.
And perhaps we all need to at least have a basic understanding.
Yeah, and I think that's going to help the comfort level in the approach or knowing how or what to say. Because sometimes there isn't the right words to say. It's just being there to support that person.
Yeah. Daniel, you talked in the last segment about a couple of situations. What finally happened with you and how did you turn the corner?
Well, I've had a long journey through my mental health experiences. They started whenever I was a teenager and suffering from child abuse and neglect and some sexual things. And at first, I don't, back in those days, I didn't think it was much talked about, so I didn't even realize, you know, anything was wrong. So I kind of continued on with my life. I got a scholarship to college. I ended up dropping out twice. I joined the Army Reserve and the National Guard and ended up getting discharged from that. I became homeless for about 3 years because I didn't have anybody to support me. During that 3 years, I did try to address my mental health issues with depression by going to therapists and psychiatrists. I found that the lack of insurance prohibited me from getting consistent care to actually get to the root cause of the problems. Eventually, I moved in with a family member here in Virginia. I ended up going to the Sunshine House Crisis Stabilization Center, which is a program of the RACSB. And it was at that point where I think I got more concentrated attention. I had to go through several iterative processes to finally find out what was wrong with me. But in the end, it was basically that I had suffered from depression and post-traumatic stress disorder from the things that I experienced growing up. And I just never dealt with them because I didn't know that they existed or how to solve them. But eventually with a very good psychologist in Williamsburg, I came to accept those things. And I graduated from William Mary. I'm no longer homeless. I work as a social worker for the Fredericksburg Salvation Army, helping people. And my life is completely rehabilitated.
Well, congratulations. What a great story. As you talked about the progression, I mean, you get chills hearing and seeing and hearing your story.
Absolutely. In retrospect, I probably suffered more than a decade from mental health problems. But in the end, I feel that I'm a much stronger and better person because of those struggles.
And I guess because of what you've done, and especially working as you do now with the Salvation Army, I'm sure you're able to not only empathize but help a lot of people in a lot of ways that a lot of us can't or don't understand.
Right, absolutely. In general, you know, the people who work in social work, they don't have the kinds of experiences that I do. So I've only been working there for a little over a month, but I've already found several, you know, key situations where I've been able to use my own experiences to provide comfort and support to somebody who's going through something similar and help them through that challenge.
And I guess any of you can jump in that Daniel's story for so many people that are that are in the depths of whatever they're dealing with, they feel there's no way out, and to be able to point to somebody that you can make hopefully that gives somebody hope.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Daniel is just an amazing gentleman. He's going to be a speaker at Germana for graduation.
Oh, he should be.
And the story that he has to tell and what he's overcome and the courage that it takes, again, still with the stigma that there is, the courage to share what has happened to him. And he's, you know, it's not a sign of weakness. It's not shameful. And that you can overcome it. I think that's tremendous. Tremendous that you're sharing that.
And Daniel's story, he mentioned the word root cause. So often people that suffer from mental health issues kind of have this series of cascading calamities, losing their job, being put out of their house, turning to substance abuse to cope, et cetera. Until you get to that bottom line root cause and get to a stable spot, it really is difficult. And in your case, it sounds like you were able to do that. The other thing is you have to eat the elephant one bite at a time. Mental health is such a bear that to try to solve everything in one or two visits with a therapist or a visit just simply is very unrealistic. In many cases, it takes years. And it takes an integrated combination of medications perhaps, psychotherapy, social engagement, et cetera. So it takes time to be well again.
And unlike a disease where you can take something and perhaps see some results.
Right.
Sometimes the results are harder to see.
Indeed. Yeah. And it's the little victories that count. You often don't have major breakthroughs as a result of one or two interventions. It takes a series of those and to really start seeing the light again.
And Dan, you're so in Europe. You're a Germana grad,
correct?
And then also a William and Mary. I mean, that and to go from Germana to be a Germana graduate and a William and Mary graduate, pretty impressive.
Well, there's a little more to the story. So when I was homeless, I started working with a Fredericksburg organization called Micah Ministries. And they helped me enroll in Germana. An employee there actually drove me to the campus so that I could do my admissions application. And she also helped me get a job at Four Paws Animal Hospital in Massaponics. And for about the first couple months that I was a student at Germana, I was living in a tent in the woods and working 30 hours a week and taking 16 credits at Germana.
Wow.
I did receive some help from a coworker at Four Paws Animal Hospital, who opened her home to me, and that made things a lot easier for me. But, yeah, for the first couple months, I was living in a tent, working 30 hours a week, and taking classes full time.
Wow, what a story! That's the kind of story you see in a movie.
Yes,
again, just the fact that you overcame all that and kept pushing forward. What a terrific story.
I think there's a couple key things. I was ready to change. I had been homeless and experiencing mental health problems for a really long time, and I knew how to do things differently. I put in a lot of hard work to do that, and perhaps the most important was that I received help from places like the RACSB, Micah Ministries, and people in the community.
Daniel Weichwin here, Michelle Miner, Katie Denner, and Bob Dixon. We're talking about suicide awareness, mental health issues this morning on the program. We will continue this when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA, coming up on 831.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Some shows, as they develop, they turn into kind of a wow kind of show, and that's what's happening this morning. We're talking just about mental health issues this morning. Daniel Weichwin is here, Michelle Miner, Katie Denner, and Bob Dixon all talking about it. Bob is a veterans counselor working at with Germana Community College, and we've talked about this before. But you've been in before, Bob, and talked about your previous life with the military, and you have worked in that setting, and also now with the military and these kind of issues. And unfortunately, with a lot of the things going on overseas and a lot of situations, you run into a lot of veterans who come to Germana who do. Are suffering from some of these issues.
Yeah, I think in many ways veterans are very similar to the general population as far as health issues. You know, they get depressed. You know, they have good days and bad days, et cetera. But in many ways, they're very different. The VA says that Virginia has 781,000 veterans that live here in the state. Just to give an example, they also say that between 11 and 20% of veterans from the post-9/11 era suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. So that is a pretty significant number. I can tell you at Germana, of my 500 veterans that we actively track, I do estimate that there's probably 50 to 100 of them that do have more significant than just mild symptoms of some of these things. And those are the ones that I really work with on a more regular basis. I think the very unique thing, though, with veterans and mental health issues is just the degree of the stigma and the barrier to seek out help. You know, the warrior culture, whether you're in the Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, whatever, is you never want to be the weakest link. And you never want to be the one in the group that says, I got something going on internally. Because the expectation is from the culture that just get over it and get on with the mission. Mm-hmm. And they bring that to their civilian lives when they leave the service. And that becomes problematic because that support network that they had with their peers in their squad or ship or whatever is gone. And now it's just them. And many of them are coming back to homes or living with family again, and they have no connection to their friends that they went to high school with because they've changed as a result of what they've been through. So just getting them over that hurdle to say, hey, maybe I do need some help. The other thing is a lot of times some of my veterans feel like it's a burden if they ask for help. You know, in the military, you don't want to be the one person that seems to be the needy person that needs something. But the reality is that's why I'm here. That's why Katie works with the veterans at Locust Grove. I'm glad at Germana now we have a lot of our student veterans who are helping other veterans. They always have done it, but we're really pushing it now and with some good successes. I've had some students come in, you know, agitated about a bad day with something, and the other veterans in the Veterans Center have said, hey, man, what's going on? Just calm them down, talk them off the ledge, so to speak. So just getting over that reluctance to help and then accepting the help. Daniel had mentioned that he was ready to change, and he accepted the help, and he sought out the help. And that has been my experience. The ones that do, do very well and get on with their lives.
Boy, Katie, and I guess it's the Daniels that you learn a lot from and see what we're – I mean, everybody's different, and everybody you're dealing with is different. But to see a success like that and to see some of the other successes, I'm sure, that you see – get you through and help what you're doing.
Absolutely. I think a veteran came in the other night, and out in the waiting room, he didn't appear to be somebody who was in distress, and he couldn't clarify what he needed in our office. And I think we were ready to point him in another direction, and then he finally came in, and I think it was 2.5 hours later. You know, he was talking in circles about different majors, and he talked about not being able to focus, and he felt anxiety, and he didn't want to go home because he knew it would spiral down. But that was not how he presented himself initially. So oftentimes it presents itself very different. Excuse me, with veterans. Sometimes I think that I think people who have gone through serving in the military and men in general can show symptoms of anger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's another word maybe for agitation, but don't even recognize that they are having the symptoms. And for those who do and can work through it, that's very helpful. But those who don't recognize that, they're kind of the tougher ones that have that agitation and that anger but don't really recognize that they're feeling feelings of vulnerability, because that's hard for reasons that Bob has said.
Dan, you're a veteran. Did with what you were dealing with, did being in the military just add to what you were dealing with at the time?
Yeah, I would say so. I'd echo what Bob said about the stigma about receiving help, and also the warrior mentality where you need to suck it up and move on. And at William & Mary, I actually became involved with a very good project called the Armed Services Arts Partnership. But it was a way of using the arts as a discrete form of therapy. We had a writing group. We also had what's called a comedy boot camp, where veterans could express themselves through that. And we also had a music corps where people could use music. But it was a way of socialization, mm-hmm. and also, especially with the writing group, to talk about some of those things that you haven't been able to talk about, and therapeutically help recover from those things.
I think the other thing with veterans is there's a misconception that if you have mental health issues, you're going to go to the VA and they're just going to give you a bunch of pills and tell you to go home and get better. And that's – nothing could be farther from the mm-hmm. truth. And while medication is certainly one of the options, it is not the only option. Daniel, you had mentioned art therapy. Mm-hmm. Here in our community, we have Team Red, White, and Blue. We have lots of wonderful organizations yeah. that are getting the veterans out of the basements, out of the darkness, and getting them reengaged socially so that they can start working through some of these things just like they did in the service. So – it's not just pills. Pills is part of the solution, but not the only solution. And recognizing that it doesn't always mean, you know, that venue to get well is so important to awareness of what else is out there. It's yoga. It's all kind of good stuff like that. So I always push a multidisciplinary approach, and many of them don't cost anything. You just show up and do it. So just willing to change and make something happen.
Well, and Bob, you have a unique – You've got a unique situation in this community. You deal with a lot of veterans with what you do with Germana, but you're also involved mm-hmm. just with the local veteran community in general. And I'm sure you run into in all of those areas people who have needs.
Yes, I think as a member of the Fredericksburg Area Veterans Council, I'm always amazed at Some of the mental health issues are not just in the current generation of veterans. I remember my wife's stepfather, who was a World War II veteran, only towards his very end before he passed away did he open up about anything that happened to him during the Pacific campaign. And, of course, we know what happened to our Vietnam-era veterans. And many of them – in fact, I think that's the largest segment that's committing suicide right now is people of that age group. And we should not follow their example because – and they're great people and I'm not trying to belittle them. But we've got to remove the barriers that to get some help. And I'm always impressed that this is, there's nothing new under the sun. And what our veterans are working through now is the same thing that those who came before us worked through. And they just sucked it up and drove on for most of their lives. And in some cases it worked. In some cases it didn't work out for them. So that's one of the observations.
Never thought of that. You're right, though. Mm-hmm. You think of the World War II, the World War One veterans. Yeah.
And that gets the stigma. I mean, if you think – I think about the stigma of mental health with my grandparents' generation. You know, that's who was in World War II, and they just didn't talk about it. You know, Uncle Bobby came back from the war, and we just don't talk about it. He goes and drinks. We just don't talk about it. That's just what he does. So.
With Veterans Day coming up and with for people out there, for veterans around here who might be struggling, mm-hmm. where would you advise them to – go get help or who to talk to?
Most of the post 9/11 generation veterans are eligible for free health care at the VA. There's certain categories. That is a venue. Obviously, if someone's in most dire distress, they should go to the emergency room and do an intake or RACSB and do an intake. We at Germana have an agreement with RACSB that our students get over there when they're really in crisis the same day and they get evaluated. I would encourage them to get plugged into one of the many veteran service organizations in the community, American Legion, VFW. There's a peer support group that meets at the VFW post downtown on Friday mornings. Go to the DAV. But again, choose to act and choose to get involved. Don't suffer alone in the darkness. There's a ton of them out there. Some of them are formal. Some of them are just groups of friends and former veterans that just get together somewhere in town and just drink coffee together and just hash things out. Men in general, you know, we're not touchy-feely. We don't like to be in touch with our feelings. Well, guess what? The energy that it takes to suppress those feelings and issues, it just drains you. So, yes, talk about it, you know, just like you did when you were in the service. You know, you joked it up. You cut it up with your friends. You got to keep doing that stuff.
I'm not sure who can answer this or who, but Daniel mentioned a little bit earlier about insurance being a problem. Is that still a problem to getting help sometimes?
Absolutely, it is. I think that the Rappahannock or the CSBs, that's the community services boards in each of the areas. I think sometimes they are overtaxed. They have a huge waiting list. And so insurance and using insurance, and I think for TRICARE, you have to make sure that you are going to a provider that has TRICARE. But some of the difficulties with getting on those insurance panels prevent a lot of therapists from getting on them. Mm-hmm. And so they're limited. I don't know if that's by design or not, but I do think that insurance prevents people, but it shouldn't. I mean, you have to be persistent, and that's the key. You just have to be persistent and find your informal support networks. And what we do here at Germana quite often is we help people cross that barrier to get into treatment, to find somebody, to make a connection, to have it be someplace where it's either a sliding fee scale or it's affordable care. Or the support groups that Bob was talking about. So there are people out there that can help you navigate that. And that takes a lot of emotional energy that sometimes people who are going through circumstances don't have. Mm-hmm. But there are people out there who want to help and help move forward if you or your loved one is experiencing that.
Well, Michelle, I know in my case – In dealing with a family member, it was the community services board and the people you have there just were perfect. They directed a family member where they needed to go, and for people that need some help, the community services board is a tremendous jewel in this community and a great resource.
I agree. I mean, we have now moved towards having walk-in, you know, appointments. So if someone calls in to try to get an appointment and it's several, you know, weeks out, the receptionist will tell you which days at which clinic we have the walk-in times, and they can come, show up, and get an appointment that day. But we also do offer our crisis counseling through emergency services. So if someone's in dire crisis, they can come to our Fredericksburg clinic between our business hours and talk to someone right there, then and there, to our emergency services staff. And we also have our 24-hour emergency services number available as well for roundabout care. So we definitely are a jewel. I agree.
The CSB, I worked for a CSB many, many years ago, 10 years at Loudoun County Mental Health Center. And I will say that the CSB is the place, is a very good place to get care, because you can get such a broad variety. If you go to a private therapist, you don't get the variety. You don't have an in-house psychiatrist who talks to the therapist, who talks to the group therapist, and the other services that are available in the community. And the CSB is a wonderful resource for people who are needing kind of the whole picture treatment.
We are talking about suicide awareness, mental health illness, mental health issues this morning, kind of the broad topic this morning with Bob Dixon, Katie Denner, Michelle Miner, and Daniel Reichwein. More coming up on Town Talk. We'll wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFEA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking about mental health illness this morning and in the area. Bob Dixon, Katie Denner, Michelle Miner, and Daniel Reichwein here this morning talking about some real good information. There is Thursday at noon, there is as I understand, it's at Germana, Dr. Sam is going to hold an informational meeting kind of to talk about campus safety.
Right. With the recent local incidences of possible school shootings, as well as the Umpqua Community College shooting, the administration at the college has decided we need to hold some town hall type forums. He did one yesterday at the Fredericksburg area campus. Craig Branch, our chief of police, was there as well as our counseling staff. And we had a lot of students show up, and they asked good questions about what do I do if something like that happens here at Germana. And we kept stressing that the best defense is a good offense. It's looking out for that fellow student that's sitting next to you. And that's an example of why something like Cognito and training them to help be our sentinels and intervention people is so critical. And the same thing will be covered on Thursday out at Locust Grove.
So good information in trying to stay up and help people through difficult times. Michelle, we've talked about the Sunshine Lady House. That's out there, and I know one of the – it's an option for people who are for both men and women who are dealing with mental health issues in this area, and something that can be – that I guess is administered through the Rappahannock Community Services Board.
Yeah, so it's a crisis stabilization program for someone in the community who's in crisis. Just to kind of stabilize, one, their symptoms, but two, if they're having a lot of chaos going on, to kind of help center them, give them the support resources. It offers so many different things within the facility, psychiatric care if needed, group therapy, individual therapy, case management therapy. Someone comes into that program that first day, and they're already starting discharge planning to help them acclimate back into the community and the resources they need. Wonderful environment, home setting, right behind our Fredericksburg clinic on Jackson Street. In order to get into that program, someone would have to contact our emergency services department or in our main clinic, have an assessment done. The bed may not be available right away, but there's definitely a bed date set for them some discussion on when they'll be able to get those services.
Well, and we started out by talking about just the stigma and how things have changed. The Sunshine Lady House that the Doris Buffett helped fund is one of them, of just the resources we now have in this community that we didn't always have.
Yeah, it definitely is something that has been very beneficial to our community members here. And we also welcome some of our partnering communities that don't have a community or a crisis stabilization program in their area to come as well. A lot of college students have definitely come through that program. It's for 18 and up. But we've also, I think, just speaking to the coordinator over there, have had some high school students in our community utilize that crisis stabilization program because they're 18, you know, seniors in high school, definitely needed the resource and were stabilized, you know, put back into their environment at a more stable level.
Well, and I think one of the things I'll always take away from this show this morning, Daniels, is you talking about how a couple of times if teachers or if a friend or someone had intervened earlier on in your life, you know, it could have changed things.
Yeah, definitely. And there's several more moments like that. But the thing that keeps coming back to me is I first started having mental health problems when I was 14, 15 years old. And I did not really get them completely resolved until I was 32. So that's a good chunk of my life that, you know, maybe I didn't need to spend 3 years on the street. Maybe I didn't have to end my military career and all that if somebody had recognized that I needed some help and offered it.
And I guess – and you mentioned, Bob, when you're getting help, sometimes it's just little small victories.
Yep. And sometimes there's a relapse. And it, just because they say you're cured doesn't mean you're cured. It could come back later.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for what you do. For Daniel, your story is something. Yeah, it's very powerful. And Michelle and Katie and Bob, what you all do, thank you so much. You are real assets to the community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Michelle Miner is a licensed clinical social worker with the Rappahannock Area Community Services Board. Bob Dixon is a veterans counselor, works at Germanna Community College. Katie Denner, a licensed psychological counselor. And Daniel Reichwein, a Germanna Community College graduate, a William & Mary graduate, and now at the Salvation Army. Good to have you all here. Thank you so much. Tough subject, but good stuff. That's it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.